Buenos días. Good morning, everyone. I'm very excited for what's happening right now. Both congregations, Hispanic congregation and the English congregation, coming together to worship the Lord. This is really a taste of heaven. And we had an amazing service already with the worship time. And now we're going to go to the message. But before, let me say something in Spanish, because I just want to make sure everyone here is going to understand the message. So I need to make sure everyone has the devices. Hermanos, qué bendición que estamos juntos. Me da mucho gusto ver a las dos congregaciones. Pensé que no iban a venir, pero sí vinieron, mis hermanos. Y quiero que todos estemos, que todos vayamos a escuchar el mensaje. Voy a predicar en los dos idiomas, pero más en inglés. Si alguien necesita un dispositivo de traducción, levante la mano. Mis hermanos están aquí listos para repartir. Allá arriba también, hermano Johan, allá arriba hay varios que necesitan. Si puedes subir, y aquí abajo hay alguien que necesite dispositivo de traducción. Sí, Johnny, de este lado, aquí hay enfrente, y de este lado también necesitamos dispositivos de traducción. Entonces, si, levanta la mano si necesitas uno. Allá arriba, van para arriba, pero aquí abajo, levanta la mano si necesitas uno. Sí, aquí, ahorita, ok. He will make sure everyone gets one. No dejen de levantar la mano si no han llegado con ustedes. Yo voy a continuar con el mensaje. Okay, this is the message for this morning. And the message for this morning is called Wrestling with God. Luchando con Dios in Spanish. Wrestling with God. And you may know already what's the Bible passage that we are going to study in this morning. The story of a man who wrestled with God. But before that, let me say this, because when I hear the word wrestling, I cannot help it but think about Mexican wrestling. Seriously, that's just what I think about. Actually, I brought the mask of the greatest Mexican wrestler of all time. I seriously thought about preaching with this on, but then I thought, I want to keep my job. And so I'm not going to do that, Pastor, I promise. But that's what I think, seriously, because I grew up in Mexico watching the movies of El Santo. This Mexican wrestler is seriously the greatest Mexican wrestler of all time. And he made movies fighting against the mummies of Guanajuato. And there were movies about, and I grew up watching those movies and playing with those toys. There were very famous toys of Mexican wrestlers that I used to play with. So when I think of wrestling, that's what I think about. But there's something interesting about this wrestling and the kind of wrestling that we're going to see in today's Bible passage. Because in this kind of wrestling, you win when you make your opponent surrender. There is when you win. When you make the other person to give up, then you win. Today, we are not talking about that kind of wrestling. Today, we are talking about a kind of wrestling that you actually win when you give up. You win when you surrender. This is wrestling with God. A completely different kind of wrestling. Not this. But something much more important. Wrestling with God. What does that even mean? Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we're going to read from Genesis 32, chapters 22 to 31. We're going to have the Bible reading on the screen. There is Spanish subtitles so that everyone understands the Word of God. Let's go ahead and read the Bible.
Jacob's struggle with the angel. Jacob got up in the middle of the night and took his wives, his 11 children, and everything he owned across to the other side of the Jabbok River for safety. Afterwards, Jacob went back and spent the rest of the night alone. A man came and fought with Jacob until just before daybreak. When the man saw that he couldn't win, he struck Jacob on the hip and threw it out of joint. They kept on wrestling until the man said, "Let go of me. It's almost daylight." "You can't go until you bless me." "What is your name?" Jacob! From now on, your name will no longer be Jacob. You will be called Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with men, and you have won. Now, tell me your name. Don't you know who I am? He asked. And he blessed Jacob. I have seen God face to face, and I am still alive. So he named the place Peniel. The sun was coming up as Jacob was leaving Peniel. He was limping because he had been struck on the hip.
Amen. Thank God for his word. We're going to look at this passage and understand what does it mean to wrestle with God. Before I go there, I just want to make sure everyone that needs a device has a device. Todos, ya no hay más, se nos acabaron las baterías. Bueno, voy a hacerlo medio bilingüe entonces. So let's go to this Bible passage. We need to understand this is the story of Jacob. Esta es la historia de Jacob. And you know, in the Bible, the names of the Bible characters are really important because their names are not only names, but also a description of their character, of who they are. So the name of Jacob literally means the one who grabs the heel. Heel grabber or heel catcher. El nombre de Jacob significa el que agarra el talón. And in the Hebrew, that's really important because it's an idiom that means deceiver, liar, manipulator, cheater. En hebreo significa mentiroso, tramposo. And that's what was Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, a liar, a manipulator, a deceiver. He deceived his own father. Jacob pretended to be his older brother in order to receive the blessing of his father. And he cheated on his father and his brother. Jacob era un tramposo, engañó a su propio padre. And Esau, his older brother, hated him for that. He wanted to kill Jacob. Actually, he promised he was going to kill Jacob as soon as her father died. So Jacob had to run. He ran away, he flees to a faraway land. And he was there for 20-something years. Jacob tuvo que huir de su propio hermano que lo odiaba porque los había engañado. Y tuvo que huir porque lo querían matar, su propio hermano. There, in the exile, Jacob got married. And it's interesting because in that land, he was a deceiver, he was a cheater. But in that land, he was deceived and he was lied on by his own father-in-law. The deceiver was deceived. The cheater was cheated on. The liar was lied to. The manipulator was manipulated. And the whole family of Jacob was characterized by conflict. His whole family was a lot of lies and deceits and cheating and manipulation. It was a mess. Complete mess. Until one day, he finds God. And he has an encounter with God. And his whole life changes forever. La vida de Jacob estaba completamente llena de mentiras, engaños, hasta que un día se encuentra con Dios y su vida cambia para siempre. And you know, I love this Bible story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. In some way, because I think it's my story, and it's the story of many of us. La historia de Jacob es tu historia, es mi historia. Many of us will live in conflict. Maybe your families, maybe your life is also characterized by conflict and deceiving and cheating and lies and manipulation. And we need an encounter with God that changes our life forever. Tal vez muchos de nosotros tenemos vidas llenas de conflicto, de mentiras, familias llenas de engaños, de trampa. Necesitamos un encuentro con Dios para tener salvación. So let us find out, what does wrestling with God mean? ¿Qué significa luchar con Dios? I want to share with you four things that wrestling with God mean. Quiero compartir cuatro cosas que significa luchar con Dios. Number one, letter A. Wrestling with God is believe in God. Luchar con Dios es creer a Dios. It's not only believing in God, it's believing God, believing what He says. One of the reasons Jacob was wrestling with God is because he didn't believe what God had said. He was struggling to believe what the Lord has said about Jacob. Because, you know, Jacob was a deceiver, a cheater, a manipulator, a liar. And everybody around saw Jacob and they saw a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, a deceiver. Everyone saw Jacob as a cheater. Even himself, he saw himself as a cheater. Everyone looked at Jacob as a liar. Except one person, God. God didn't see Jacob as a liar. Actually, God chose Jacob to be the one to continue the promises of God, the promises that God had given Abraham and Isaac, promises of blessing. God had promised to bless this family, and not only this family, but all the nations, all the families of the earth, including you and me. And Jacob was the chosen to continue that promise. Jacob era un tramposo. Todos veían a Jacob como un tramposo. Incluso él mismo se veía como un tramposo, pero Dios no. Dios lo había visto como el escogido para continuar las promesas de Dios. And this is beautiful and profound because this applies to us as well. You know, my brother, my sister, your true identity, what you really are, does not depend on what other people think about you. Your identity doesn't depend even on what you think about you. No, you are not what you self-identify as. What you really are is what He says of you, what He has created you for. That's who you really are. And other people may say things about you. You yourself may think about you as something, but what you truly are is what God says about you, and He says that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are someone for whom Jesus gave His life. That's who you really are. Tú eres, mi amado hermano, lo que Dios dice de ti. No eres lo que otros dicen de ti. Otros dicen de ti cosas. Tú mismo dices de ti cosas. Pero lo que tú eres es lo que Dios dice de ti. Y Dios dice que eres amado, perdonado, alguien porque Cristo dio su vida. And this is what Jacob found out. First of all, he had to believe what God had said of him. This is what God says in Genesis 26:15. I am with you, and I will watch you and watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Dios le dijo a Jacob, te voy a acompañar y voy a estar contigo siempre. Era su escogido. My dear brothers and sisters, you are what God says of you. And wrestling with God begins by believing what the Lord says about you. Luchar con Dios comienza por creer lo que Dios dice de ti. Let's go to number two. Letter B, segunda enseñanza. Wrestling with God is admitting your brokenness. Luchar con Dios es admitir que estás roto. Es admitir que estamos rotos. You know, we love hearing phrases like, God loves you, you are beautiful, you are a masterfully created piece of art by God. We love hearing those kind of things. And that's actually true. The Bible does say that we have been masterfully created. Psalm 139 speaks of how the Lord created our being and how masterfully He created us. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His masterpiece. The Greek word for masterpiece is poema, poem. That's beautiful, and the Bible says that. But you know why? What? That's not the whole truth. That's not the whole truth. That's not the full gospel yet. If I only preach that, I'm not preaching the full gospel yet. And it's important that I say this because in today's world, there are a lot of false gospels. And some of them look like the true gospel, but are not. And they say some things that sound like true, and maybe they are true in some way, but not in a full way. And you know what the saying goes? Well, it's a saying in Spanish. It's probably similar in English. about lies and half lies, half truth. It goes like, a half truth is a whole lie. Nos gusta escuchar cosas como, eres hermoso, eres maravilloso, no hay nada malo contigo, eres creación de Dios y Dios te ama tal y como eres. Y eso es verdad. Dios nos ama tal y como somos, pero no es toda la verdad. No es toda la verdad. Because the whole truth is that God loves you just the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He loves you just the way you are. The Bible says that He loved us even when we were sinners. That's Romans 5:8. But He loves us not because we are beautiful and perfect. He loves us in spite of our sinfulness. La verdad completa es que Dios nos ama tal y como somos, pero Dios no quiere dejarnos tal y como somos. Él quiere cambiarnos, transformarnos, sanarnos. Sometimes I call this the gospel of Bruno Mars. Because there's a song that I like, honestly, I like the song. I sing that song to my wife. It goes something like, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. Because girl, you're amazing, just the way you are. That's beautiful. That's how she, I won't sing it, no. Again, I want to keep my job. But some people think that God is Bruno Mars that tells you, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change because you're amazing just the way you are. No, my dear brothers and sisters, God is not Bruno Mars. He would change. Actually, He wants to change us because we need to be changed. Actually, we need to be transformed. We need to be brought from death to life. No, we're not beautiful in every single way, like Christina Aguilera sings. Another false gospel. You're beautiful in every single way. No, guess what? That's not what the full gospel says. The full gospel says that yes, you are wonderfully created, but also that you have been corrupted by sin. And that we are lost without God. That we are lost without Jesus. And I wasn't called to preach the false gospel of culture. I was called to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. En el mundo se escuchan falsos evangelios que te dicen, no hay nada malo contigo, eres maravilloso, eres hermoso. Y eso es medio verdad, porque sí, Dios nos ama tal y como somos, pero Dios nos quiere transformar. La verdad completa es que estamos corrompidos por el pecado y solamente en el poder de Cristo Jesús hay salvación. Y Él nos quiere transformar y sanar. And this is what Jacob understood when he was wrestling with God. This is exactly what Jacob understood, that he needed transformation. When Jacob was wrestling with the man, the Bible says it was God, but Jacob didn't know it was God at this moment. I think he knew that person was something special, because Jacob says, I won't let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go until you bless me. And I think that is Jacob saying, transform me, change me. I need someone to change me because I cannot fix myself. That's Jacob saying, I'm tired of being who I am. I'm tired of being the cheater, the liar, the manipulator, the deceiver. I need transformation. This is Jacob admitting he's broken. That's not easy to do, but you know what? I think we all know that we're broken. We know that. You just need to look at the news, to look at the world, to look around, to look within yourself, to realize that we're broken. The world is broken. We know that. Some people blame the system. Oh no, the system is broken. Let's fix the system. If we can just fix the system, if we can just follow this ideology or follow this, you know, this political mindset, we can fix the system and bring about a better world. No, yeah, the system is broken. But you know why the system is broken? Because it's made by and of broken people. And broken people cannot fix broken people. We cannot fix ourselves. We need God. We need restoration. We need His power. We need His grace. We cannot do it on ourselves. Jacob couldn't change himself. He needed this man with whom he was wrestling in order to be transformed. And that's what you need and what I need. Jacobo entendió que necesitaba transformación. Por eso le dijo al ángel, al hombre, bendíceme. Estaba reconociendo, estoy harto de ser quien soy. Estoy harto de ser un mentiroso, tramposo, manipulador. Cámbiame, transfórmame. Necesitamos reconocer que solo Dios nos puede transformar. Que nosotros no nos podemos transformar a nosotros mismos. But there's more. Letter C, number three. Wrestling with God is surrendering to God. Luchar con Dios es rendirse delante de Dios. It's hard to imagine, what does wrestling with God even mean? What does that even mean? Like, how were they wrestling? How? I cannot even begin to imagine how Jacob was wrestling with God. You know, at first, the Bible says it was a man. Later on, we know that it was God. Because the blessing that Jacob receives is a change of name. That's very important. The blessing that Jacob receives is a change of name, which, as we know, means a change of character, a change of who he is. He transformed Jacob. He is no longer the cheater. He now is Israel. That's his new name. The one who wrestles with God and overcomes. Wow. The one who wrestles with God. That man was no man, was God. What does that even mean? Scholars, Bible scholars, when they study this passage, some of them affirm that Jacob was wrestling with Jesus. With Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity before the incarnation. And the rationale goes like this. If Jacob was wrestling with God, how can that be? The Bible says that God is invisible. The Bible says that God is spirit. Some people would say, well, that wrestling was metaphorical. It was a metaphor. It didn't happen in reality. It was a dream or a vision or maybe just it's poetry. I don't think so. I think it's real. The Bible says that Jacob was wounded and that he kept being wounded all his life because of that wrestling. So some people say Jacob was wrestling with God because God is invisible, but the Bible says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So if Jacob fought anyone, and that anyone was God, it had to be Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. I don't know, you may ask Pastor Greg later, but what I want to say now is that Jacob was wrestling with God, for real. How's that? What does that mean? Se me complica pensar cómo es que Jacob luchó con Dios. ¿Cómo le hacía? ¿Le hizo manita de puerco? ¿Le hizo una llave? ¿O cómo luchas con Dios? Los que estudian la Biblia dicen que era Jesús. Porque Jesús es la encarnación de Dios. Y Jesús adquirió forma humana de alguna manera antes de la encarnación y luchó con Jacob. ¿Qué significa eso? You know what this means? Wrestling with God means surrender. When Jacob is fighting this man, he receives a change of name. He's no longer Jacob, he's now Israel. But I think that he wants to hold on to some amount of power and authority because he asks the man, what is your name? He wants to know the name of this man. And some scholars say that is Jacob wanting to hold on to some power, not willing to surrender everything. Knowing the name of someone is having the power to invoke them or having the power over them. He wants to know the name. And this man says, he's God. And he says, you cannot know my name. You don't know who I am. You cannot hold God in your hands. This is the Almighty, the all-powerful, transcendent God. God of the universe, creator of everything that exists. So Jacob had to understand that wrestling with God means surrender. He had to surrender before God. He had to give it all. He had to stop fighting. In this kind of fight, in this kind of wrestling, you win when you surrender your opponent. You win when you make them give up. But wrestling with God, it's the opposite. This is one of the beautiful paradoxes of Christianity. That we are strong when we are weak, that we find life when we give it up, that we overcome when we surrender. Jacob tuvo que entender que luchar con Dios, la única manera de ganar es rendirse. Es una hermosa paradoja, que con Dios ganas cuando te rindes, encuentras la vida cuando entregas la vida, te haces fuerte cuando eres más débil. En esta clase de lucha ganas cuando haces que el otro se rinda, pero en la lucha con Dios ganas cuando tú te rindes delante de Dios. I think many of us have things that we have not surrendered before the Lord. Areas of our life that we haven't given to God completely. And wrestling with God, that's why we are wrestling with God. And this is an invitation to surrender all, to give it all to Jesus Christ. To completely give up our life, and then you will overcome. Esta es una invitación a rendirte por completo a Dios y entonces encuentras la victoria. Let's go to the final point in our outlines. Let's go to letter D. Wrestling with God is trusting God in the process. Luchar con Dios es confiar en Dios en el proceso. Wrestling with God, my dear brothers and sisters, is a process. This is this process in which we learn to surrender to God. And that's not easy. It's not easy. Actually, it may even be painful, because change is uncomfortable. To grow is painful. Maturing is a process that includes wrestling and struggling. And I need to say this, because in today's world, there is a tendency to avoid anything that is uncomfortable, to avoid at all costs anything that might be painful in any way. And I'm not going to advocate for pain and suffering. I'm not going to say, please don't hear me saying that suffering is good or that pain is good, because it's not. It's suffering and pain is part of the consequences of sin entering the world. And the Bible says that one day in eternity, there will be no more pain or suffering for all eternity, only joy and worship to the King of Kings. Amen. But meanwhile, on this side of eternity, pain is just part of life. That's what it is. And Jesus Christ never promised that we will not experience suffering. Actually, he promised that we will face trials. God never promised that we will not walk through the valley of shadow of death. What he promised is that he will be with us as we walk through the valley of shadow and death. But we tend to avoid uncomfort. It might be uncomfort to be hearing a sermon in Spanish and English. It's like, oh, he's turning to Spanish. That's boring. Oh, he's turning to English. That it might be uncomfortable for some. I think it's beautiful to have that diversity in this beautiful congregation. But you know what? That's how we grow. That's exactly how we grow, through struggling, through wrestling. Think about a seed. Think about a seed. Wait, let me say that in Spanish before that. Tenemos una tendencia hoy día a evitar cualquier cosa que sea incómoda. El sufrimiento, el dolor. Y no quiero decir que el sufrimiento es bueno, el sufrimiento es malo. Es parte de la consecuencia del pecado. Pero la Biblia dice que Dios puede usar el sufrimiento para hacernos crecer y madurar. Y que Él está con nosotros aún en medio del sufrimiento y del valle de sombra de muerte. Think about a seed. A seed has to be broken and buried deep in the dark. And then life comes out of it. When it's in the darkest places and it's broken, then is when life comes. Think about a diamond. A diamond is made through the pressure, amazing amounts of pressure, and then is when a diamond is formed. Think about gold. Gold is purified through fire. Think about a muscle. There's not much here, but think about a muscle. A muscle is strengthened through pain, through resistance, through opposition. Think about a Christian life. A Christian life grows, matures through uncomfortable things, through pain, through suffering, through trials. God works through all things to form Christ in us. Una semilla tiene que ser enterrada en la oscuridad y quebrada para que haya vida. Un diamante tiene que experimentar presión para convertirse en diamante. El oro tiene que pasar por el fuego para ser purificado. El músculo, aquí hay muchísimo, tiene que experimentar oposición, resistencia, dolor para crecer. Y la vida humana, tu vida, tiene que pasar por pruebas para crecer, para madurar. Do not avoid uncomfortable situations. Let God work through them. You'll come out stronger, wiser, closer to God. No huyas de las situaciones incómodas, de la lucha, del dolor. Más bien deja que Dios trabaje a través de ellas. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. C.S. Lewis dijo, Dios nos susurra en nuestros placeres, nos habla en nuestra conciencia, pero nos grita en el dolor. Es su megáfono para despertar a un mundo que está sordo. Even Jesus Christ was willing to wrestle. And this is the greatest wrestler of all time. It's not El Santo. The greatest wrestler of all time. It's not even Jacob. The greatest wrestler of all time is Jesus Christ. El más grande luchador de la historia. No es El Santo, no es Jacob. El más grande luchador de la historia es Cristo Jesús. Even Jesus Christ, he was willing to surrender. He's God in the flesh. And he was willing to surrender. Listen to this beautiful, profound, perhaps the deepest prayer ever prayed in the history of praying. This is Luke 22. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesucristo es el más grande luchador. Jesucristo, aun siendo Dios, estuvo dispuesto a luchar, estuvo dispuesto a rendirse delante de Dios, orando esto: Padre, si es posible, pase de mí esta copa, pero no se haga mi voluntad, sino la tuya. He surrendered before God. Jesus Christ was willing to surrender before Christ. How in the world are we not going to surrender before God? He was willing to wrestle with God. He was willing to believe God. This is a call for all of us, to wrestle with God, to being willing to wrestle with God, to believe what He says of you, to admit that we're broken, to surrender before Him, and to trust Him in the process. Esta es una invitación para estar dispuestos a luchar con Dios, creyendo en lo que Él dice de ti, admitiendo que estamos rotos, que lo necesitamos, rindiéndonos por completo a sus pies y confiando en Él en el proceso, aunque sea incómodo. And I assure you, my dear brothers and sisters, les aseguro that we are going to come out stronger, wiser, closer to God, because only in His name there is healing, porque solo en su nombre hay sanidad. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this wonderful service, Lord, in which we come together, the Spanish congregation, the English congregation. Te agradecemos tanto, Señor, por este momento en que venimos los que hablan inglés, los que hablan español. Gracias, Señor, por Jacob. Thank you so much, God, for Jacob, who was willing to wrestle with God, que estuvo dispuesto a luchar con Dios, who was willing to believe what God says of him. He was willing to admit his brokenness. He was willing to surrender before God and to trust God in the process. Let us do the same. Gracias por Jacob, Señor, que en un momento dijo, estoy harto de ser quien soy, transfórmame. Y estuvo dispuesto a creer en lo que tú dices de él. Estuvo dispuesto a rendirse delante de Dios, admitir su pecado y a creer en ti, Señor. Let us do the same, dear Father. Let us do the same, oh God. Let us surrender before you and find healing and restoration in your name. Permítanos hacer lo mismo, rendirnos a tus pies y encontrar transformación. In the name of Jesus, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.